Good morning. I got a couple things going against me right now. I just ran across the church because I left my notes over there. And it turns out I'm really out of shape. So if I sound like I'm breathing heavy in the next couple minutes, that's why. I got to perform a wedding yesterday. They didn't have a mic, so I just projected the entire time. And then, you know, like when you're inside an area where there's a DJ and you're just having yelling conversations. So if my throat goes out about halfway through this, you just have a lot shorter of a sermon. It'll be great. We'll all go home early. But I am glad you're here. I'm glad to be here. We have been going through this series that we've titled Citizen. And we're talking about what it means to be a citizen of the kingdom of God, a kingdom citizen. See, when Jesus came to earth and he died and he rose again, he inaugurated the kingdom of God in this world. This is the now and not yet kingdom, the kingdom that's going to come in fullness upon his return. And we get to be a part of that kingdom right now. We get to be a part of spreading that kingdom in this world right at this moment. But we won't get to see it its fullness until Jesus comes back someday. Now, the alternative to being a kingdom citizen is choosing to be an empire citizen. And an empire is any organization, any political group, any country, anything that is not Jesus Christ. Okay, anything. So in our particular context, all of us live in the midst of empires. Every single one of us. We live in the United States. It's a great country, but it's also an empire, right? Some of us, our families operate like empires instead of like the kingdom of God. If you live in the HOA, you definitely live in an empire, just being real. Here, the only way into the kingdom of God is through him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So if you're not choosing Jesus Christ, then you're choosing an empire, okay? So that's what we've covered so far. We've done 7 weeks of Citizen, and we're in the midst of what's called the Sermon on the Mount, these three chapters that we find in the gospel according to Matthew. So Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I've been encouraging you guys, read these. Like, man, go through it once a week. It's such good stuff because it's here that we find the true way to be human. This is what Jesus describes as a kingdom citizen. And we've been talking about what that means. And we found that kingdom citizens, they're people who speak truthfully to one another, right? They're people who worship in a right way. They're people who choose love over anger and commitment and covenant over brokenness. This is what we're called to. Are we going to get it right every single time? No, but this is what we aspire to, and this is what Jesus modeled. The word he uses here is mammon, money, stuff, ourselves, things. We cannot be devoted to these two things. We're going to choose one, or we're going to choose the other. We can't have a split focus. But I'm guessing that just like me, at various times in your life, you have chosen the path of a split focus. You've tried to serve two things, right? You've tried to say, yeah, I want to follow Christ. I want to figure out what that means. But I really want to be rich. Or I want to be well-liked on social media. Or I want to. And we find ourselves split. And so what Jesus teaches next in Matthew chapter 6, the thing that we're going to look at today, that's why when people come to me and talk to me about like their own predisposition towards anxiety and worry in their life, this is what I point them to. I say, hey, you need to read this because Jesus is going to give us a prescription. He's going to tell us, here's how we begin to confront the anxiety and the worry that we're facing. And since this passage centers on worry and anxiety, it's really applicable to our culture today, right? I mean, we live in a world of worry. I don't know if you knew this, but 20% of us, 20% of Americans, are wrestling with some sort of anxiety disorder right now. 33% of us will at some point in our lives. Okay, that's one out of three people in this room. One out of three people in this room are going to wrestle with anxiety disorders. And even if you're not like, you're not qualified anxiety, you still worry, right? 40% of Americans say they're worrying more now than they did last year, right? This is on the increase. We're people who worry. We're worrying about current events. We're worrying about the economy, changing climates, and the U.S. election. And this week, we polled you on Facebook. We just asked, hey, what are you worried about? What is causing anxiety in your life? And here's some of the responses we got. We had many people talk about their children or the grandchildren. How can they keep them safe, especially in the current broken world that we live in? We have people saying, I'm anxious about whether I'm parenting the right way. Like, am I going to end up putting my kid into, you know, a counseling center at point because of my actions, because of how I've parented? Some of you said you're anxious about health issues that you're facing. Some of you are talking about aging and the changes that have come with aging and the transitions that you're facing. Whether you're on the right path and following God with your life, really keeping step with the Spirit and living on purpose. How to financially make ends meet, whether you can provide for your family and their needs. We're a mess of worry, right? We worry. And full disclosure, I'm figuring this out. I'm figuring this out too. I'm right there in the trenches with you. A year and a half ago, we did a series called Songs of Sorrow, where we looked at the book of Psalms and we talked about anxiety and mental health. And I shared during this series, I have what's known as a panic disorder. That means that I get to have panic attacks sometimes. They're really fun. You should try it out. It's great. And we're only going to briefly touch on mental health today. So what I'd encourage you to do, if you're in that place now, if you're wrestling through this stuff, go back, go to ccw.church/sermons, go back and take some time to walk through that four-week series, Songs of Sorrow. There's some great resources we point you to. It's one of the reasons that we launched our counseling center, LifeSpring Counseling Center on campus, is because we recognize that this is a real issue in a lot of people's lives today. So yeah, I'm in the trenches with you. I'm figuring out what this means, what it means to follow Christ and to wrestle with what's going on inside my head and heart, which is why Jesus' teaching on worry that came 2,000 years ago is so important for us, for me today. So I invite you to join with me in checking out the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6. Now, I will have it up here on the screen, so you could just follow along if you want. Let's talk about this. You ready? Here's what Jesus says. Therefore, pause. Therefore, okay? Therefore means he's pointing back to what he previously said. And remember what he previously said is you cannot serve two masters. You cannot be devoted to two things. You're going to live this split life if you try to do this. The result of a split focus is this. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Now, obviously, that's a rhetorical question, right? Is not life more important than food? Yeah. The body more important than clothing? Sure. Absolutely. What do you think they were worrying about in the first century? They were worrying about what they were going to eat next, right? You know, most of these people, they were living day to day. Like, they didn't know where their next meal was going to come from. If they didn't catch the fish, they weren't going to eat, right? It's a very different culture. Do you think they were worried about their lives? About whether they're under this Roman government that's extremely violent? Do you think they're worried about the threat of violence against them and their families? Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you think that they're worried about how they dress? I mean, yeah, we've got a lot fancier clothes at this point, but do you think there was style to be concerned about back in the first century? Probably. You know, you wanted some clothes. Maybe you wanted to look nice. So, I mean, they're worrying about a lot of the same things as us right now. And Jesus says, do not be anxious about your life. Now, how would you describe anxiety? Like, what words would you use? Stress, fear, scary, right? Like these are all, this is true about anxiety, right? This is a place where we're feeling fear. We're feeling, we're having intrusive thoughts. We're feeling overwhelmed internally. And a lot of times that manifests itself physically, right? As in some of you have experienced digestive distress as a result of anxiety. Some of you have experienced palpitating heart. You know, you feel like you're dying as a result of this thing that's inside of you. And the crazy thing is, I had a counselor tell me, stress or worry, anxiety, panic attacks, they cannot kill you, right? Like you can't die from having a panic attack, but it sure feels like it in the moment. It sure feels like it. So these worries, these fears, this overwhelming stuff that's going on inside of you, it's trying to come out. And as a result, you experience these physical manifestations. And Jesus, this word that he uses here, anxiety, everywhere else it's used in scripture and in other Greek texts at the time, it always refers to sleeplessness, right? Some of you have experienced that before. You're laying awake at night and you just can't help thinking about life. We've all been here in this overwhelmed, fearful, anxious place. And what does Jesus say? He says, do not be anxious. Yeah, of course, don't be anxious. That's easy. If you've ever been in an anxious state, it really helps when someone says, oh, well, just trust God more, right? You just need to have a little more faith. You just, you know, don't worry about it. You know, just don't think about it. It doesn't work, guys. It doesn't work, okay? And so Jesus is going to give us prescription, like I said. But he starts off with, don't be anxious about these things. Don't be anxious about what you're going to eat next or what you're going to drink next or what you're going to wear next. Don't be anxious about these things because there are more important things in life, right? There are bigger things. Don't stress the small stuff. And he continues this line of thought with two different illustrations. He says, consider the lilies of the field. I think I skipped something here. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor do they store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father, he feeds them. Aren't you much more valuable than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add even a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Look at the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon, King Solomon, this guy who was known as the richest person, the one of the greatest kings that Israel ever seen. This would be like us saying, I don't know, like the Kardashians, okay? Not even the Kardashians are dressed like one of these flowers. We're all just mimicking God's creation, but look at the beauty that he created, right? But if God so clothes the grass, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Now, I love this. You know, Jesus, he's probably standing in an open amphitheater as he's talking here. He just looks around, he points, and he says, look at the birds. Look at the flowers. These are things that everybody around him could see. Look at these things. Look at the beauty. Look at God's creation. This is amazing, right? But aren't you much more valuable than these things? Listen, as human beings, according to Scripture, we are the pinnacle of God's creation. Everything else as God created, he said, this is good, this is good. Human beings, he said, this is very good. You are the pinnacle of God's creation. He loves you. And if he can take care of these things, do you believe he can take care of you as well? That's what Jesus is asking here. This is what he's pointing to. So we should not stress. We should not live in anxiety because we know that God takes care of all these things. So he then lovingly chides his listeners with... He kind of calls them a name, to be honest, like this end right here, oh, you of little faith. This is literally, it's like, it means little faiths. You little faiths. You little faiths. Are you a little faith? Am I a little faith? Like, are we little faiths? Are we failing to trust that God can do what he claims to do? That's what Jesus is asking us here. And he goes on and he says, but here's the answer. Therefore, do not be anxious, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, yet your heavenly Father knows that you need each and every one of them. He knows that you need these things. And when he says Gentiles here, he just means people who are outside the family of faith, right? These are people who do not know God. Of course, they're going to have a split focus. Of course, they're going to chase after clothing and food and a living space. They're going to focus on these things because they don't have a God that they know will provide for them. But you, now that you know this God, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things will be added to you. So instead, he tells us what? Seek first food, seek first clothing, seek first safety, seek first comfort. No, seek first what? The kingdom and God's righteousness. Seek that first. Get your focus right. Get your focus on the right thing, the kingdom of God, and all these other things. That worry is going to begin to diminish. Because when you're focused on the kingdom of God, you're not focused on this thing over here anymore. You're focused on God. You're focused on what he can do. So instead of a divided focus, kingdom citizens, they keep their focus on the kingdom of God. Instead of worry, kingdom citizens choose a life characterized by faith. Instead of anxiety, kingdom citizens choose to rest in the goodness of God. And then he wraps it up with this: therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious about itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, this is a bit of a bummer. Like, this statement right here, Jesus is like, this is a pessimistic statement right here. But he's not saying like, oh, hey, every day after this is going to be terrible. That's not what he's saying. He's just saying you can't focus on the future because you don't know what it holds. Live today. Live today. Later on inside of Scripture, another of the New Testament writers, he's going to say something similar. He says, therefore, I'm blanking out here. He says, come, now you who say, let's go to this or that place, stay there a year, carry on business, and make money. You do not even know what your life is. You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, what you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. The Bible is very clear about saying we should not be future-oriented people. We can't live for tomorrow and the day after and the day after. We can only live in the present. When we choose to try to control things into the future, guess what the product is? Anxiety, worry, trying to control outcomes that we have no power over, right? So as a reminder, we believe that God's word and Jesus' teaching should shape how we live our lives. We're not just learning knowledge here. We're saying, how do we take this and go on and live a life more like Jesus Christ? Because that's what it means to be a Christ follower, a little Christ in this world. How do we do these things? And overall, what Jesus talks about here is having a right focus. So let's talk about how we get to a place where we have right focus, because this is the starting line for overcoming anxiety, for defeating the worry that is so prevalent in our lives. And let's talk about what we shouldn't focus on first. I think it's safe to say we probably shouldn't focus on others, right? We probably shouldn't focus on others. Now, have you ever heard the phrase, keeping up with the Joneses? You've heard that phrase, right? You know, this idea. This actually comes to us from the early 1900s. A comic strip was created called Keeping Up with the Joneses. And the idea was one family was trying to socially climb, and they were trying to keep up with their neighbors who always seemed to be a step ahead. And so this phrase, keeping up with the Joneses, has come down to us in history. And now it means, hey, we're trying to live in a way that other people don't look down on us. We're trying to keep up with our neighbors by having the right car and the right clothing and the right family and the right house, having a nice yard, making sure we have the package put all together, right? At least appearing like we've got things figured out. And the trouble is that throughout the year, the voice of the Joneses has just gotten louder, right? It's gotten louder and louder. We started off with newspapers, and then we got radios, and then we got televisions, and then we had satellite streaming into our house, and then we got the interweb, and then we got social media, right? And at this point, screens and voices are in our lives all the time. We're inundated with this stuff, right? We're inundated with this stuff. Even if you don't turn on your TV, you're going to walk out of your drive. You're going to see signs going down the road that are telling you should live this way. Your smile should look like this. If you only buy this new home, you'll be happier. That's what happens in our culture, right? We are inundated with media. And as a result, and understand, I'm not trying to condemn technology. It's done a lot of really wonderful things. But its reach into our lives means that we live in a world where we're hard-pressed not to play the comparison game with others. And social scientists, they found that when we buy into this, when we buy into social comparison, we have increased depression. We have reduced life satisfaction, poor body image, eating disorders, increased pornography usage, increased suicide rates. Hooray us, right? This is the product of focusing on others. This is the product of looking at other people. Now listen, this is not a new problem. The first century, they were dealing with this as well. As Jesus is speaking these words, they're dealing with it. Later on in the gospel according to John, there's this story where the apostle Peter, he's walking with the resurrected Jesus, and Jesus gives him some bad news. He says, someday, Peter, someday you're going to be led by people of ill will to a place you don't want to go. You're going to be led to the place of your death. And we believe that he's talking about the fact that someday Peter, this apostle of Jesus, will be crucified. He will be killed for the sake of Jesus, hung upside down on the cross. And Peter, you know, he kind of absorbs this information. And he looks around and he notices another of the apostles, the apostle John, following behind him and Jesus. And he's like, well, what about that guy? What about that guy? Like, if this is going to happen to me, what about him? Because we want to keep things fair, right? We're always focused on other people. And Jesus, his answer is a little terse. He says, what is that to you, Peter? It's your job to follow me. You follow me. Don't worry about that guy over there. Worry about yourself. Worry about yourself. When it comes down to our focus issues, focusing on others is only going to lead us to a place of worry and anxiety. It will cause us to devalue both ourselves and other people. It will cause us to try to keep up with the Joneses instead of keeping in step with the Spirit of God. Now, I know that many of us have already fallen into this trap. Your focus has landed you in a place where you're living a life of dissatisfaction and worry. And I want you to chew on this question. Is your focus on others enriching you? Is it enriching you? Is it making your life better? The prescription, of course, is to change your focus, right? To change your focus, that might mean that you've got to give some stuff up along the way, though. It might mean saying, hey, I'm going to reduce the number of people I follow on social media. Or maybe I'm just going to get rid of social media entirely. You might be a healthier person as a result. It might mean instead of having three TVs in your house, having one screen in a central area. It might mean taking your phone and putting it on the other side of the house in the evening because you know, hey, when you don't have anything else to do, you're just going to scroll on there. And you're going to be looking at others. You're going to be looking at others, right? Now, if we're not focusing on others, maybe we should focus on the problem. Because if we focus on the problem that's in front of us, well, we need to know the problem if we're going to overcome the problem, right? So focusing on the problem is good, right? That's going to reduce our anxiety. If we just constantly think about this thing that's causing us anxiety, you see the problem here? Right? In the ancient days, we used to listen to CDs. You remember those things? For you younger people in here, they were kind of like, they were flat discs like this, and you put them in a CD player and music would come out. It was crazy. But sometimes CDs would get little scratches on them. And as a result of that scratch, the song would get stuck. You know, you get looping in that same place. It would just keep like repeating that same part over and over and over again. This is what anxiety is like when we focus on the problem, right? If you ever wrestled with worry, you know about those intrusive thoughts in your head. Those thoughts you don't even want to think. You don't need someone to tell you to focus on the problem. The problem's already stuck. It's stuck in a loop inside of your brain space, you know? You don't want to think about these things. But we do, and as a result, as we focus on the problem, we jump online and we Google search it, right? We start talking about it with others. We do more research in all kinds of very official places like YouTube and WebMD and Wikipedia, TikTok, yeah. And then we talk about some more. See, when we focus on the problem, the product, ends up being an increased loop of worry and anxiety in our lives. And when I was in college, I had this opportunity to go to Central America with my family. And while we were there, we had the opportunity to climb one of these Mayan pyramids. It's called, this one's called the Great Jaguar Tikal. And we had to go through a hike through the jungle to get there. And we get there. I just want you, that's the staircase on the front, right? It's very steep. It's not like staircases we have today. Usually our staircases have railings. You know, we've thought about, you know, the size of people's feet and the fact that their entire foot should fit on the step, you know. But this staircase was very steep. My mom decided that she wasn't going to head up because she knew that this was going to be an anxiety-inducing issue, right? Climbing this thing. So me and my sister decided to go up, which was also an anxiety-inducing issue for her. But we got to the top, and the view was beautiful, right? You get up there, and you can see over the whole jungle. It's amazing. And then we started to head down, and I realized my problem isn't going up. My problem is going down. Like, you're looking, and you're focused on where you're going right now. You're looking at the bottom of this thing, and you're like, man, I am way higher than I thought. And this is way steeper than I thought. And so what you end up having to do to get down, because I would probably be still stuck there today, I had to turn around. And I had to go down backwards and focus on one step at a time because I couldn't focus on the problem because the problem left me stuck. When we focus on the problem, we end up choosing flight or fear, right? Some of us fight. But let's be honest, most of us are flyer fear people. You know what I mean? Like, we can't focus on the problem. We need to recognize the problem. We need to recognize it. We need to name it for what it is, and then we need to choose to change our focus. Now, if you're anxious about current events, turn off the news, man. If you're stressed about the upcoming election, stop getting into those debates. Seriously. Now, I'm not asking you to ignore the things that cause you anxiety in life. I'm not advocating for that. But guess what? It will continue to exist with or without your focus. You realize that, right? Just because you don't pay as much attention to the election doesn't mean it's going to happen. Just because you choose to check out a little bit doesn't mean someone's going to get voted in. And understand, the more energy and effort you pour into this, the more you focus, do you think it's going to make any difference to the outcome? I'm not a nihilist. Like, I believe that we have influence in life. But, like with these big things, you're not going to do a whole lot to change them. But they're doing a whole lot to change you. And if that's the case, then maybe it's time to let go of that for a little bit. So if we're not focusing on others, we're not focusing on the problem, maybe we should focus on the solution, right? We focus on the solution. Now, this makes a fair amount of sense, especially to us problem solvers in here. Who's a problem solver? You get a problem, you gotta fix it, right? You go into our bookstore, you're gonna find just shelves of self-help books. You jump on YouTube, you can become a YouTube expert about anything now, right? We are problem solvers, many of us. And so we wanna grab hold of the problem, we wanna figure it out. And a lot of times, in choosing to solve the problem, we create a new problem. Along the way, my family goes through a lot of hot water, like probably an excessive amount of hot water. I've got four girls in the house and then an autistic son who believes taking 2 to 3 hour showers is the way to go. You know, we go through a lot of hot water, and the problem is this last year, our hot water, our heater was on the fritz. It was on the fritz, you know, and so we would go through days where it just wouldn't turn on, and we'd have to go and flip it on and then wait for it to warm up. There were a couple of times last year that, no joke, I bathed myself with a heated pan of water from the stove, you know? I mean, like, this is, some of you guys are like, I did that when I was a kid, no big deal, okay? Well, it was a big deal for me, okay? Because I'm used to having a heater in my house, a hot water heater. And me and my dad were like, we can solve this problem, right? You know, we figured it out, we looked at it, we solved the problem, and then a few months later, guess what? The problem was back again. And we spent more time and more money and more energy, and the problem came back, except it even got worse. Eventually, we had to call in the cavalry, right? And the problem that we were fixing wasn't the actual problem. It turns out there was a problem on the inside that we couldn't even see unless we had taken the entire thing apart and found that there was this minuscule leak. Now, thankfully, we were within a month of our warranty giving up on us. So we got a water heater now, okay? And it works. It's great. But sometimes when we focus on the solution, it just produces, guess what? More anxiety, more worry. I know you probably haven't thought about it this way, but the solution isn't always the answer. When I was wrestling through this panic disorder stuff, I did all of the right things. I gave up caffeine. I met with various counselors. I changed my habits. I started practicing guided meditation. I mean, like, doing all the stuff. Listen, I was doing all the right things. And then every once in a while, I'd still have this massive panic attack that would lead to days of depression and more panic attacks. And I would feel like a failure because I found myself right in the back, in the same space again, right? Focusing on the solution wasn't working for me. It wasn't working. See, the solution has a place, but it can't be our focus. Because we live in this culture where when we have a problem and we find the solution, we're told, well, you've got to fix it, right? You've got to put in your time and energy and power into making this solution happen. But here's the problem. It's usually our power that put us in the place where we have the problem. You get it? Like, my anxiety, my worry, my panic attacks, they were a result of my own choices along the way. My own broken lifestyle along the way. That got me to that place, and now I'm expected to dig myself out of that hole. Jesus has a different solution, though. He says we don't focus on others, we don't focus on the problem, we don't focus on the solution, we focus on the kingdom, right? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. All these other things, they're going to come together. They're going to come together. Now, does that mean that by choosing to focus on the kingdom, that worry and anxiety, they disappear? No, absolutely not. Does it mean the problem's going to vanish? No. Does it mean that we won't have to still work on the solution? Of course we're going to still have to do the stuff, right? But our focus isn't on those things. Our focus is on the kingdom of God. Think about it like this, right? When we're focused on the kingdom, the solution, the problem, all these other things, they're so much smaller. When we're focused on the kingdom, instead of getting stressed about that thing, those voices aren't as loud anymore. Our problems, our source of anxiety, they aren't as severe anymore. Our solutions aren't the final word anymore. This is the path of a kingdom citizen. This is what it means to have faith. When Jesus talks about this idea of faith inside of Scripture, this is what he's talking about. Focus first on the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things, these problems, these worries, these anxieties, these solutions, they're going to come into play, but they don't need to be your focus. They don't need to be your focus. So seeking the kingdom first, reclaiming it as the primary focus of our lives, this is the prescription to the issue of worry and anxiety in our lives. But let's talk about some next steps here. How do you actually do this? How do you make it practical in your life? Because it's such a nebulous idea, right? Seek first the kingdom. Well, we start with seeking first the kingdom by surrendering to Jesus Christ. Now, you have heard this here before, and I hope you hear it here continuously. Our path to freedom starts with surrender. It starts with choosing Jesus Christ and saying, He is Lord of all things, everything in our life. I'm not Lord anymore. The president's not Lord anymore. The anxieties and worries of my life, they are not Lord anymore. Instead, I'm going to focus on Jesus Christ, surrender to Him, and choose His way. Choose His way. This is the entry point, okay? This is the entry point. And the entry point to surrender, according to Scripture, is to choose belief in Him, to choose to confess His name, to repent, choose His way of life, and be baptized into a new life, to come out something new, filled with the Spirit of God. This is where we start. And if this is where you need to start today, if this is where you're at, listen, do it. Do it. Some of you have been thinking about this for a little while. And you're hoping, oh man, like if I just work a little harder, I'll be good enough to choose Jesus Christ. That's not how it works. He loves you no matter how far away you are. Well, if I just talk to counselors long enough, then my stresses and my anxieties and worries are going to go away. Listen, you cannot focus on the kingdom without choosing Jesus Christ. You have to choose Jesus Christ first, okay? So if this is what you need to do today, do it. Do it. The second thing is we need to continue a life of surrender. Oops, that's not where I want to go. We're going to continue a life of surrender and walk in His way. Continue to do His things, right? Tomorrow, I choose Jesus Christ today. Guess what? Tomorrow, I've got to choose Him again. I've got to choose Him every day, every moment, from here on out. And this is going to require some changes on your part and my part. We wade deeper into transparent community. We get involved in small groups. Maybe we get involved in Celebrate Recovery for hurts, habits, and hangups. We're real with people. We get involved in a one-on-one discipleship relationship because guess what? This is part of recovery. This is part of what it means to walk in His way, real relationships. We build new habits in our lives, things like meditation, prayer, reading Scripture. We call these practices or Jesus habits around here. And actually, there's all kinds of good stuff. We're going to be offering something called Basics soon, which just teaches you how to build these new habits into your life. If you want to one-up on this, out at our Next Step station, we have these little papers that are practice pages that you can take and you can go and you can start to walk in His way today, right? We cut out habits that have become focus suckers. I mentioned social media, but this could also be a preoccupying hobby. It could be video games. It could be television. Maybe it's time to let some of those things go so that you can reclaim focus in your life. These are just ways to realign our focus. And quite honestly, these are just more solutions. But what I want to tell you is behind these solutions, and this is the third thing, the really important thing here, is that all this stuff is just supposed to remind yourself of who God is. Remind yourself of who God is. Remind yourself of His greatness and His glory and His love for you. Remind yourself of His kingdom on a continuous basis. Because we all have focus drift. Every single one of us, we're going to find ourselves looking the other way. You know, I mean, some of you are drivers and you're going down the road and you know, you're like this. Who's like me? You know, I mean, you're looking at other people in their cars. You're looking at this stuff over here. You never pay attention to what's in front of you. We all have focus drift, and so we need to be reminded continuously of who God is. There's lots of ways you can do this. Some of you are studious. You know, you love to read books. You love to get into the Bible and just understand His glory and grandness even more. If that's you, I recommend checking out the book None Like Him by Jen Wilkin. It's a great read, and it just puts God into perspective and puts our lives into perspective. Some of you do this by listening to music. You just love to hear. You love to listen. And maybe that's worship music. Maybe that's composed music. Man, I love listening to orchestras, to symphonies. I love listening to those sorts of things because it just puts me in a headspace where I'm reminded of who God is. But I kind of like Jesus's path here. Remember, He points to the birds. He points out to the grass, the flowers of the field, and He says, look at those things. Let these things, these created things, remind you of who God is. Some of you know this by now, but I'm a bit obsessed with bugs. When I was a kid, I wanted to be an entomologist, and I've had a resurgence of this in my life. Now, I don't want to be an entomologist, but I do go outside and I look at bugs a whole lot. My family, they're always pointing out new things to me. I've identified over 250 species on my property alone. These are some of the pictures of different insects that I've taken along the way. Now, here's the reason that bugs fascinate me so much. I believe in a big God. I have no problem believing that God has created stars and universes, because that's what a big God does, right? But this same God created these small, little, infinitely intricate things that most of us just step on and never pay attention to, right? And if that God took the time to create these things, what does that mean about me? What does that mean about who he is? See, entomology is just an act of worship for me. And maybe it might not be bugs for you. I get that. But maybe you need to make some regular trips out to watch sunsets. Maybe you need to go outside and grab a telescope and look up into the sky at night and just see the stars. Let God's creation remind you of who he is. Let it reclaim your focus, so that you're focusing on him and the kingdom instead of all this stuff around you. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you much more valuable than they? Now, I'd love to tell you that a refocus on the kingdom will suddenly make your anxieties disappear, that you won't find yourself with nagging worries, that all your problems will go away. But you know what? I still battle my panic disorder. But I do so without guilt. I do so without shame, knowing that God is for me. He is for me, and he is in control. And even if my prayers aren't answered in my way and in my time in this life, I know that God's kingdom is so much bigger and grander than my everyday worries. I'm going to choose to focus on that. I'm going to choose to keep walking forward with this thorn in my side, knowing that God is glorified throughout. So choose kingdom citizenship. Choose to put his kingdom at the center of your focus. Choose the way that's bigger than your fears and anxieties. Choose the God that is for you, the King, who shows you what it's like to truly be human in the spirit that is with you and guides you. Let's pray. Father, we love you, we glorify you, and we just ask in this world of distraction that you help us to focus just a little bit more on who you are. Help us to focus on you, your kingdom, the life that you have in store for us instead of the space that we're inhabiting right now. I know I'm gonna walk out of here today, Father, and there are going to be screens. There are going to be reminders of things I desire, things I want that I don't currently have. There are going to be reminders of the things that I worry about. But Father, help me to keep my eyes on you and on what you have for me. I pray for this community. I pray that we don't focus on others or the problem or the solution, that we focus on your Son, our Christ, our King, his kingdom. And that as a result, we feel that anxiety and that worry melt away. That you can redeem our brokenness and use it to glorify your kingdom and not our own empire, Father. And that at the end of all things, that when Jesus Christ returns to this earth, we're standing there celebrating that return, knowing that he has so much more in store for us than what we have right now. We love you, Father. We love you, Jesus Christ. And we pray all of these things in your name. Amen.